The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
And like PJ Tucker's a player that you can put on Kyrie Irving. You can also put him on Kevin Love, and you can also put him on LeBron James. Like, that kind of player defensively is incredibly valuable.
Kevin Rayfuse.
To be good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
A lot of the times, from my understanding, is close games are won by the coach calling those inbound plays and drawing up a quick sideline play for him.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
So it's always pretty fun to take a trip down memory lane, and we saw Kobe Bryant do that earlier this week when it's a theme on the Players Tribune, but a lot of times you see different athletes doing this. But Kobe Bryant wrote a letter to his 17-year-old self.
Yeah, and it was really, like, if I was Kobe's family and I was reading that, I would almost feel a little bit insulted by the whole thing. But I guess the point of the letter was that he was saying to his 17-year-old self, if you're going to help out family, that's great, but help them to succeed. Don't just give them money, because when you end up cutting them off from that money, there's resent.
Which, I mean, to an extent, I understand.
Well, there's the whole scandal about how Kobe's mom is, like, selling his high school merchandise and, like, record stuff that he, milestone stuff, I should say, that he broke while he was in high school for money. And it's just kind of like, Kobe never, for one, listened to the 10 crack commandments. Because if he did, he would learn about rule number 7, which is so underrated. Keep your family and your business completely separated.
So we thought it would be fun to, if we had to give one piece of advice to our 17-year-old self. And Justin was late for this podcast today.
Yeah, really late.
I'm just throwing him under the bus.
No, probably like the first time it's happened. But we're going to record the introduction without you, Justin. But we thought that this is such a good Justin intro that it would be a damn shame to kick it off without you. So since we waited an hour in these really comfortable chairs for you, why don't you kick it off with the first piece of advice?
My first piece of advice is make sure your alarm clock works.
It's valid.
No, I mean, it sounds bad, but like I was so like high strung about everything in high school and like always freaking out. I'd be like, oh man, I got to make sure this project's done. And like none of that mattered, you know, like, yeah, you needed to do well in high school to get into college, but really none of it mattered. So I probably would have taken a lot easier classes and had a lot more fun in high school.
I mean, the goal of high school to me is yeah, it's all about what college you get into or trying to figure out if you want to go into a career that doesn't involve college. Like, grades in high school are only relevant to getting you into college.
Right, right.
Kevin, how about you? What's your piece of advice?
You guys are going to hate me for this.
Oh, man.
Dude, my piece of advice to my 17-year-old self? Trust the process.
Oh my God.
Everything is going to work out. Oh, everything is going to be okay. Do the things you got to do. Put in the work. Don't sweat it. If you do the right things, you're going to end up in the situations where you want to be and just kind of, you know, have more fun. I mean, I had fun in high school. Don't get me wrong. I loved high school. I'm not trying to make it sound like I didn't, but like, enjoy the moment. Oh, that was exactly the reaction.
I've been waiting for four days.
I've had this for 4 days ready to go.
I think if I was to give myself one piece of advice to my 17-year-old self, it would be not to follow your dreams and instead go to college when you should have and become an accountant.
Yeah, dude, accountants get paid.
Yeah, dude, like, they make legit, so much money. I wish I was a CPA.
Yeah, but my buddy, he was going to be a CPA, and he went to school for accounting. He's got an accounting degree, and he's working in the field right now, but you know, he asked the question, but he wanted to be a CPA. He goes, do you literally just want to crunch people's numbers all day for the rest of your life? If so, being a CPA is great. But that's what you're going to be doing. Yes, crunching numbers every day for the rest of your life. For every day?
And my ex was 25 years old making 60 grand a year.
Yeah.
And as a CPA. And, you know, now that she's in her early 30s, she's making much more than that.
Oh, yeah.
If I had it to do over, I wouldn't have thrown concerts. I would have gone straight to college. I would have become an accountant. I'm already old and boring. At least I'd be old and boring with money.
But it's really funny, though, because you're the guy who's always like, yo, money's not that important, man. You got to follow the dream. And now you're telling everyone to not do that.
Well, I think there becomes a certain point in which you're like, depending on your career field, that it doesn't really matter that much because it's not too much of a difference between point A and point B.
Right.
But if I could have just skipped all the heartache and the ramen noodles and the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch and the chicken and rice for dinner.
Yep. Hey, chicken and rice for dinner is still really good.
Not for 6 months straight.
Well, okay, that's fair.
But you're listening to the Driving Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
Why that Gucci Mane album lit, LOL.
Oh, boy. Well, the Gucci Mane album is extremely lit.
Lit AFFAM?
No.
No, just
it's
lit.
It's not lit AFFAM. It's strictly lit. I could be anyone. I'm gonna go with Dwight Howard since Gucci Mane's from Atlanta.
No, John Henson.
Oh, John Henson. You know, speaking of John Henson and the Bucks just giving Miles Plumlee, I think it is, or Mason Plumlee, I can't remember. Miles, they just gave him that 4-year extension. Kind of seems like the Bucks might be moving on from John Henson. Maybe. So each week on the show, we like to give you guys a shout out for giving us a shout out. But what we're going to do this week is we have this. If you go to drivingdishpodcast.com, there's a contact submission form where if you want to send us a longer form message, you can do so. And this week we got a really nice message from one of our better listeners. So we want to give him a shout out.
Yeah, it's from Josh Puttick, who is a contributor of the show. He asks mailbag questions. It's up on Twitter. So I guess that's contributor. Anyway, the subject is let's keep the good times going. Josh says, hey guys, as you may know, I have been an avid listener of the Driving Dish podcast for the last two NBA seasons. Hmm. I thought to let you guys know that I feel lucky to have jumped on the Driving Dish movement early. Jumped in early on the Driving Dish movement. Excuse me. I can really read well today. Over the past 2 years, I've seen the pod grow from strength to strength with the addition of new segments, deep dive analysis, and listening to the natural chemistry between the three of you evolve. Particular individual highlights of this past season includes Kevin's rants, parentheses, Avery fucking Bradley, Justin's obsession with Cole Aldrich, and Tim's pickup game abilities, parentheses, the shimmy. A key strength to your podcast is that you reach out to your listeners and truly engage them in the hoops conversation. With sponsors on board and a couple of seasons under your belt, I believe that you're on the path to success. Congratulations to the three of you on the hard work you put into the podcast. It truly makes my morning commutes that much more bearable. Keep up all the great work and keep loving what you do. All the best, Josh Puttick.
Nice. I wrote a blog post 6 months ago, and it was back when we got our first sponsor.
Okay.
And it was called Defining Success, and a lot of that actually had to do with the fact that we had sponsors and how that wasn't how I defined the success of the podcast by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
It was actually the interaction that we get from the people that listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stuff like that I think does define the success. So thank you, Josh.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, CJ McCollum and the Portland Trail Blazers have agreed upon a 4-year, $106 million maximum contract extension. The deal contains no options or trade kickers for McCollum. The Miami Heat and Chris Bosh have been discussing whether or not he should come off blood thinners or continue to take them. If Bosh comes off the medication, there's no reason why he couldn't return to action. Bosh has tried to convince the Heat in the past that he can play while on blood thinners, as a new medication he's taken would be out of his system in 8 to 12 hours by game time. The Heat rejected the idea, though, which apparently angered Bosh. With good reason. If Bosh doesn't play a single game this upcoming season, his $25.2 million salary for 2017-18 and $26.8 million salary for 2018-2019 would be cleared for this summer for Miami's cap. only if a doctor that is jointly selected by the league and Players Association agrees his condition is career-ending. Joel Embiid created a post on Instagram honoring Sam Hinkie. He said, "The GOAT, hashtag he died for our sins, hashtag trust the process." Nothing really more there, I just thought that was kind of funny. And lastly in your news, DeMarcus Cousins called Carmelo Anthony his favorite player of all time. A lot of people say you can see it sometimes in Cousins' game. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
All right, so this is part of the show where we want to tell you about one of our awesome sponsors, and that is Loot Crate. So what Loot Crate is it's a monthly subscription box service where you get gamer and geek collectibles, apparel, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises. So it's like Christmas. You get a different box every single month, and you can choose to sign up for either 1 month, 3 months, or even half a year. Past boxes include items from Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Fallout 4, and Star Wars. So for less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, so it's not the knockoff. You're getting the real thing. Apparel, collectibles, and there's usually a t-shirt involved. Unique, one-of-a-kind items that you can't get until anywhere else. And the theme for this month in August is the anti-hero. So whether it's Walter White or Omar Little from The Wire, we all celebrate bad guys once in a while. And the exclusive collection this month comes from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, and Kill Bill, which includes 2 great collectibles, a wearable, and of course the monthly tee. So make sure you check that out. We're celebrating the best of bad guys. How you can help the show? You can go to lootcrate.com/driveindish and enter the code driveindish and you'll save $3 on any new subscription. Again, enter the code driveindish like Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Seriously, it'll show up right at your doorstep. And you can also check us out at driveindishpodcast.com. Just go under the sponsors tab and it'll link you right to Loot Crate.
So for the past few weeks, we've been spotlighting a few different podcasts here on the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. It's summertime, and we want to share the love to all of our, the other great NBA podcasts that are out there. And this week, it's kind of fitting since it's the summertime. It, you know, it involves the Suns and the Sun and such.
Yeah, and this one's really fun, too. One of the guests that we had on the show a long time ago, Dave King, he is a, I think he's a senior writer over at Bright Side of the Sun. I could be wrong, but regardless, I know he's in a leadership position over there. And he came on to talk about the Suns when the Markieff Morris trade ended up happening, and a really, really smart guy. And so what Bright Side of the Sun's been doing is they've been doing a Suns Phoenix Suns solo podcast, like Sun-centric podcast, and they've actually been doing it for a while, but they've been putting out sort of like beta episodes, test episodes. They've been putting them on SoundCloud, putting them on the website, but now you can subscribe on iTunes. All you got to do is search Bright Side of the Sun. Go to brightsideofthesun.com. It is a website dedicated solely to in-depth analysis of the Phoenix Suns. Fresh, unique takes every day, even during the long off season. They have a balanced perspective lauded by national media, fellow Phoenix media, and even Suns players, coaches, and front office personnel. No joke, they really do. They've had Ryan McDonough on a couple of times. It's delivered to you via Facebook, Twitter, obviously their podcast that we've talked about, and the website, brightsideofthesun.com. Subscribe to the podcast Bright Side of the Sun on iTunes, or you can listen on SoundCloud, and visit brightsideofthesun.com.
So before we get into some more free agency talk and all that, we have some pretty big news from the association. It's been rumored for a while, but now it's official. The NBA is moving the 2017 All-Star Game out of Charlotte, and that's citing the state of North Carolina's restrictive bathroom law. Basically, Charlotte had passed a law. I want to try to explain this as well as possible. Charlotte had passed a law that said transgender people can go to the bathroom that they identify with. And North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory said nope and decided to ram through this legislation that is a bit anti-LGBT. It is it was called the bathroom bill because it was saying, you know, all sorts of specificities that transgender people have to go to the bathroom they're born as, not what they identify as. Either way, it's going to cost the city of Charlotte about $100 million when all is said and done. The NBA has given them the option to come back in 2019. I guess, what are your guys' thoughts on all this? You think, how do you feel about the NBA taking a social stance, really? Because that's what this is. This is a big social stance.
The NBA was the first professional sports team to ever have a banner at a gay pride parade. So right. They've always been at the forefront of that. That being said, it reminds me of when things were taken away from Tucson. There was a time in Tucson, Arizona, or really in Arizona, when when they had passed SB 1070, I think was the name of the law, mm-hmm. where basically cops could ask you for your identification if you were Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they could just ask you for your papers. And so a lot of artists, a lot of touring groups at the time when I was throwing concerts weren't coming through Tucson because of that, when it was a law that Jan Brewer up in Phoenix had passed. And mm-hmm. so if you look at this law right here,
pretty similar.
Right. Charlotte tried to do the right thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of North Carolina said, no, 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 no. And then the NBA took the game from Charlotte.
Well, and I guess, I mean, people, I would assume, already kind of started taking preparations for this for next year, right?
So they already had their gear and everything. I remember them, like, the Charlotte Hornets tweeting out the 2017 All-Star gear.
Yeah, so it kind of sucks in the fact that they, like, had it all prepared and they were ready to go for the most part, or, you know, were starting the work towards it, and then it's just taken away like that.
But what do you think of Adam Silver's decision? Not so much.
I like it. I respect it. I respect it for sticking up for people. This is such a ridiculous non-issue.
But you don't feel like he's taking it away from a city that was already trying to do the right thing? Because that's my only issue with it.
I mean, I agree, but at the same time, you know, it's in the state.
I feel like he probably could have done something sooner so that there was less preparation taken. Like, right when all that went down, I think they had already announced the All-Star game being there, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why, like, right when that happened, then why wasn't he like, okay, then we're not doing it there?
Well, and they're giving them the opportunity to come back. It's not a, like, the opportunity can come back in 2019. And they had said, Adam Silver had said, if there was a movement to actively try and get rid of this bill, they would have weighed that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina hasn't balked on this bill at all.
But I was going to say, a flight from Orlando to New Orleans is like $90 right now. So. Just putting it out there.
Well, New Orleans had they had an All-Star game not too long ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
So I guess, like, so why did they choose New Orleans? Was it like just like that was the next one in line?
I'm not sure how all those decisions happened. I know the Suns got it after the Suns were robbed of a championship run. That the NBA just like slyly said, well, you guys can have the All-Star game next
year.
Here
you go.
Not really the same thing.
It's but close.
I'm sure there's a lot of considerations that go into which team gets right. into the city's bid, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot of politicking going on as well.
For sure.
Well, it's just about who can handle it too on the quickest. You know, we talk about the presidential debate, that the first one was supposed to be at Wright State in Ohio, and all of a sudden they couldn't handle it, and they said, you know, they didn't want to deal with the rising security costs and all the drama that's been going on in American politics this year, so they gave it to Hofstra. And people are my alma mater, and they're like, well, why did they give it to Hofstra? It's their third straight year. But Hofstra's already got the contingency plans. They already know how to secure it. You know, sometimes it's just about where has it been before, because you need to scramble a bit, and that's what I think the NBA did here.
Well, regardless, I want to go.
yeah, no, that'd be great. We should definitely go.
I looked up tickets a couple of years ago to an All-Star game.
They're expensive.
Dude, they were like $1,500 or something. Yeah, it was like really, really, really expensive.
I'll send an email to somebody and just be like, hey, so we're a huge NBA podcast,
yes.
and we'd love to come and cover
the... It's just, you know, just give us the tickets. We'll buy the airline flights. You know,
yeah.
I think that would be a.
I'll bargain for a hotel room though.
Should we make this a campaign?
A campaign. No. I think that if I was going to go to an All-Star game, that the only night I would really want to go would be the 3-point shootout.
I feel like the dunk contest would be a lot cooler in person.
The skills contest and all that, like all of that would be cool. The dunk contest was good last year. Now I'm a bit interested in the dunk contest. Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine made the dunk contest great again.
I feel like I feel like it's just going to be a dud next year, just because everyone's kind of has expectation now. Like last year, no one had expectation.
It's much easier to make it good when you're expecting nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny with that dunk contest. I was pretty on the, like, I understood why they gave it to LaVine, and I wasn't like, ah, oh, this isn't too criminal. Like, yeah, it's wrong, but it's not that criminal. I went back and watched some of that the other day, and I'm like, man, Aaron Gordon, he got hosed.
Yeah,
how did
dude.
He not win?
Aaron Gordon won.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, it was like when Iggy. Back in 06.
Was it that severe? Because I don't really remember the Iggy one
Iggy
all
was
that
severe.
Much.
Iggy was
so cool.
Iggy's was flagrantly bad. They gave it to Nate Robinson because Nate Robinson was short. That's the sole reason why they gave it to Nate. Nate Robinson won 3 dunk contests and maybe should have won 1. Woohoo, he's short and he can dunk.
Well, that is really impressive.
It is impressive.
No, it's not. It's not that impressive.
Yes, it is. I want to see you dunk.
Dude, give me a break. I'm not an NBA player. That's a straw man argument.
I'm just saying, dunking is really hard.
Andre, he jumped from under the backboard, put his head under it, went around, and then reversed. Are you kidding me? This is not even remotely. Iggy got hosed. That is one of the most flagrant robberies I've ever seen in my life.
All right, so one of the things we wanted to talk about too was that Derrick Rose recently made some comments to the media.
I have it right here if you want me to read it.
I do, because I want to pull up. We posted on our Facebook page a question asking fans, do you think that the New York Knicks are a super team? And I want to get their comments after.
Okay, so this is the quote that I got.
It'd be a great hot take from Reddit, by the way.
They're high. I mean, with these teams right now, they're saying us and Golden State are the super teams, and they're trying not to build that many super teams. And Adam Silver came out with a statement.
So he said they are calling us super teams. You know, like, he didn't exactly say that he thinks they are a super team.
No.
But so we posted this up on our Facebook, and we asked you guys, do you think that the Knicks are a super team? Espen Vita said Derrick Rose is a strange man. Michael Coombs said they aren't even first in their division. Raps and Celtics are still better. Andrew Morgan said, how the hell did he keep a straight face after saying this? Ross McLeod, which, sorry, Ross, if I butchered your last
name
there.
McLeod.
McLeod. All right. Well, Ross McLeod said Derek needs to change his medication. Stuart O'Kell said, did the media laugh when he said this? Corbin Dallas said, no, he does not have a point. Jeff Doyle said he's just gone and lost his mind now. He's delusional. And Vincent Ho said, was that the pre-injury D. Rose talking? And those were all of the comments.
Here's my take on it. On paper, if you look at the names of the players, I kind of get why you would think it's a super team.
Do you?
Well, look, you got Rose, Melo, Noah, Porzingis, you know, Courtney Lee. Jennings, they're noticeable names is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they're noticeable
so
names.
Matt
they come
Barnes.
Up. But what I'm saying is though between Rose, Melo, and Noah, those guys are really well known players, and that right there kind of gives you the all super team vibe. It's not matching up, but I'm just saying. I think maybe that's why he said it, is they have the all star, you know, name around them, I guess.
I mean, let's look at their starting unit. They have a starting unit of Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony, Porzingis, and Joakim Noah. Their second unit, they got Brandon Jennings, Justin Holiday, Lance Thomas, Kylo Quinn. I mean, you're looking at this team right here, and that starting lineup of Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony, and Porzingis, they obviously aren't a super team. But what they do have is they have a lot of shooting on the floor, and they have a solid six man in Brandon Jennings.
Right.
I mean, it was delusional. What the hell was he talking about? But that is a really solid team that they have right now,
and that's
at least on paper.
So the other thing I was looking up, because I kind of got thinking, like, okay, so I feel like with those comments, Derrick Rose and the Knicks are really looking at the playoffs. So I was looking at their points per game, all those guys, you know, in a regular season and playoffs. Like Derrick Rose last year, I think he only played 62 games or something like that. Shot 42% field goal per game, 16 points per game, 5 assists. In the playoffs, 34% from 3, 6.5 assists, about a steal, 20 points per game. He was a plus 1.9 per 100 on the court. Melo last year, 43% field goal, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 21 points per game. In the playoffs, 28 per game. But for Melo, you have to go back to 2012-2013, just to, because he hasn't been there in a bit. But in that time, he was 28 points per game, 6 rebounds. Like, the guys start locking it in the playoffs. And so my thought was, these guys are really experienced when it comes to playoffs. So I wouldn't sleep on them once you get to the playoffs, because those guys are going to be able to lock it in. They've been there before. They know what they're doing. Joakim Noah, same thing. Like, he in the playoffs, 2013-2014, I went back to when he was actually relatively healthy and able to play. He was shooting a 51% field goal, 12 rebounds, 10 points. Like, those three right there, that's a really good triple threat. And then you got Porzingis on the up and up, you know?
They have some age and they have some experience there. You know, Carmelo Anthony being 32, Derrick Rose is only 27, Joakim Noah 31, Courtney Lee 30, Porzingis being the youngest of that of that core. But I mean, to your point, Justin, when you're talking about Derrick Rose, last year after the All-Star break, he averaged 31 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds on 52% shooting, 48% from three-point line. If you compare that to his MVP season, 32 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 44% shooting, 33% from the three-point line. Obviously, he's not quite the same scorer that he was, but post All-Star break last year, Derrick Rose was pretty good.
Yeah, Courtney Lee, actually, I was looking at his numbers for, because they kind of got jumbled up because he was on, you know, he was on different teams, but last year he shot 45% field goal and 37 from three, like...
Well, Courtney Lee, he's really good defensively, too.
No, Courtney Lee was one of the better pickups I thought they made. They were looking at what they wanted to do with that fifth spot, and I thought Courtney Lee was really good for the position they were trying to fill. The Knicks are going to be better this year. Derrick Rose is out of his mind if he thinks they're a super team. I think this would have been a super team in 08.
I think
that Tim is onto something, and that Derrick Rose definitely played well at the second half of last year. I think that's why. I think that, you know, when the Knicks made this deal, I liked this deal for the Knicks because it's essentially a flyer. If Derrick Rose doesn't pan out, you can get rid of him after this year. If Derrick Rose pans out and remotely is the player he was in Chicago pre-injuries, then all of a sudden you made a pretty good deal on your hands. You know, you bought low and you have the high potential. Joakim Noah, we'll see.
It's been a lot of injuries.
I don't think he has any lift left on him, which is a huge problem. Melo is Melo. Porzingis, again, still a great prospect. I hope they put him in the... I hope they put Porzingis a little closer to the basket this year. I think towards the second half of the year, you know, we mentioned that rookie wall, but Phil just kept trying to play him as an outside shooter. And Porzingis is an outside shooter. Like, he has that ability, don't get me wrong, but I think it took away from what he can do in the interior.
Yeah, he was about 33% from three last year. What did you guys think about Melo's comment saying that if the D-Wade thing was like 2 days earlier, they would have had him? Do you think D-Wade would have been good with this team that they currently have?
I mean, honestly, Dwayne Wade ended up going to Chicago with Rondo and Butler in a backcourt that can't hit a three. They might hit two threes all season long. I think that Dwayne Wade would have been open to it. I do think that Courtney Lee's a better fit mm-hmm. than Dwayne Wade is. And keeping it on Rose for a bit before we go to all the surrounding players is that, and this kind of goes into Jeff Hornacek, where when you're looking at Jeff Hornacek's offense, and having been somebody that watched Jeff Hornacek's offense for so long, is it's a really guard-oriented offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's really up-tempo, a lot of high screen and roll, a lot of dribble handoffs, a lot of spacing on the floor for the guards to drive. And if you compare that to what Derrick Rose was doing last year, among 61 players who averaged at least five drives per game, Derrick Rose was tied with LeBron James for seventh in efficiency. I think he was getting about 8 points a game off drives, and that also with Derrick Rose, so the floor's going to be spaced, which will make driving easier, but he doesn't have to carry the scoring load.
Right.
And I think that's going to bode really well. And Derrick Rose can play off ball a bit too. They can bring in Brandon Jennings and have Brandon Jennings take the ball up and down the court a lot of the time. Like, I think this is actually going to be a bit of a better fit than a lot of people anticipate it being.
Well, so I was, I forget where I saw it. It was an interview that Derrick Rose was doing, and he said that he had talked to Coach Hornacek, and he said that with the triangle offense that he would be varying the triangle to have a lot of pick and rolls at the top of the key and on the side.
That's how the Suns would run their offense too.
Right, and so then he's talking, pick and roll. And Derrick Rose was saying, he's like, I'm probably one of the better, more athletic point guards that are being put into this situation.
I mean, maybe you can still run some ISO with Derrick Rose because he still has a really quick first step.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, he's still a little bit hesitant to take it right to the rack. And
yeah.
And you can't blame him.
No, I would be terrified.
I mean, last year he broke his face.
Yeah. That happens. Westbrook did that too, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh,
I never, if I could go my entire life without breaking a bone on my body, it would be my face.
So, oh, no, ribs, dude.
I don't want to break my ribs either, but
I think I'd rather break my face than my ribs.
Yeah.
Dude, well, can't move. You can't breathe.
Yeah.
The tailbone is bad, too.
Tailbone.
I bruised my tailbone, and it just, like, sitting hurts, moving hurts.
Side,
you sit so much in life.
Side thought, we had a company softball league, and there was a guy there he was the pitcher for the other team, and he would wear this like helmet, like this almost like football helmet, and no one ever told me why. And then like the last game, I was like, why does he wear that? And they're like, oh, a few years ago, he took a softball straight to the face, and it just like ripped his face off. And I was the pitcher, so they're like, oh, well, good luck out there. And I'm like,
there was a pitcher recently that got hit by a line drive 5 mile an hour baseball, and the thing is, like, he stayed in the game, and my initial thought to that was, what is the MLB's concussion protocol? Why did he stay in the game?
I feel like, and maybe this is just because I don't know MLB as much, but I feel like it's like you're not very likely to get a concussion in MLB. I mean, you got that, and then you got the sliding at home, which even they're trying to take that away at this point.
They put the rules in place. They put the rules in place after Chase Utley broke Tejada's leg in the playoffs last year for sliding into second, and they put the rules in place for the catchers after Buster Posey got his season ended
bell rung, back.
So I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. Kevin and Justin, they are Philadelphia 76ers fans. None of us live in the cities that we are fans of anymore. We grew up there, but as happens with a lot of people, you end up moving on. One of the hardest things about getting my gear for the Phoenix Suns is the fact that I can't go to a lot of Phoenix Suns games. Sure, I can go to a Magic's game down here in Orlando, but I'm just going to see a bunch of Magic gear there. That's what makes Fan Essentials so amazing. Every month I get a box of Phoenix Suns gear sent right to my house, and we have the hookup. What you do is you go to fanessentials.net. That's fanessentials.net. You pick the team that you want to sign up for, and each month, and prices start at $14.99, they go up to $35. You get your team's gear sent right to your house. Here's a great thing too, is you can support the podcast as well as get a 30% off discount by going to fanessentials.net, and at checkout for 30% off, just put in the promo code DRIVEANDDISH. That's fanessentials.net. Promo code Drive and Dish. If you forget though, just go to driveanddish.com, click on the sponsors tab, all the information's right there for you.
So that sponsor we just talked about right there, Fan Essentials, I guess what we're going to do, and I think we're going to roll with this, is we get to give away to one of our listeners once a month a free month of Fan Essentials. So you get that free month of gear from your favorite team sent right to you. So what we did is we're going to post up a Facebook post on our Facebook, so you have to like us at Drive and Dish, and tell us the reason why you want your team's gear.
Yeah,
and we'll pick the best, and we're gonna do it once a month.
We get to give away once a month. So at the end of the month, or you know, towards the end of the month, we'll go through and everybody that commented will put their name in a pool, and we'll randomly select one or randomly.
I think we should do it by the person that has the most bleeding heart story.
We can do it that way.
Or the most creative
creative. We like funny.
Funny will definitely get you some points in my book. Like lots of dad jokes, right, or like just terrible puns.
Puns
are all about it.
Major keys.
All right, so go ahead and like the Drive and Dish on Facebook. Tell us why you want a free month of your team's gear, and we'll pick the winner.
Don't really hot.
It's time for hot takes from Reddit.
Hot, right?
Hot take number one.
So this was off of a post about Jay Crowder's comment saying Toronto is not the team we're worried about. Okay, so that just kind of gives it a base. The comment is, Celtics versus Raptors on Christmas Day would be fantastic no matter what city it would be played in. ... Too bad it's not going to happen.
He's right, it's not going to happen. There's no way the NBA ever puts a Celtics-Raptors game on television. Granted, he's right. It should happen if you're a real basketball fan and on Christmas. Because for me, the Christmas games should be the best. Like, I don't want to see Brooklyn on Christmas this year. That's happened.
You don't want to see the Lakers.
I don't want to see the Lakers on Christmas.
Rockets were really terrible last year. We ended up having to watch.
Yeah, but the year before, they were really exciting. So I think that kind of was just like a carryover.
I want to see the 10 best teams. Or something with the most intriguing teams. Like, if you put Minnesota, for example, on Christmas, okay, you can sell me on that. They got Towns, they got Wiggins, you know, a few of these other guys. But I want to see the best of the best matchups. I want to see Cleveland Golden State. I want to see the Clippers playing. I want to see the Spurs playing. I want to see the Raptors playing. I want to see the Celtics playing. Like, I want to see the best possible basketball matchups. I understand the star power.
Could I sell you on a 76ers versus Suns?
Done. In. I'm
first
there.
First game.
Dude, that's an NBA 2020 Finals preview. Right. We got to get that in now.
This year, let's look at the young talent. I don't think that's too hot. I could see the NBA doing. I don't think they will, but I think that with the Celtics hitting Horford, that there's a bit more intrigue. And with Toronto having made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, I guarantee you that Toronto will get a Christmas Day game.
Well, so then my other question is, was Jay Crowder's comment too hot takey, saying that they're not worried about the Raptors? Kind of alluding to they're only worried about the Cavs.
Well, yeah, they should be worried. The Raptors went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The Celtics didn't get out of the first round. Like, fight your battles one at a time.
He also had some choice words for Kevin Durant. He was really pissed that the Celtics, and I'm paraphrasing here, told Kevin Durant every effing thing that they were going to do. as far as like their playbooks and things like that. And so
that's what you got to do.
Right. I just thought it was a stupid comment.
To beat the Warriors, because the Celtics have beaten the Warriors a lot in the past few years. It's one of that odd, weird, bad matchups where you just have that not as good team once in a while who's got your number. And that's what that's been.
Hot take number two.
Bringing it back to the Knicks. Let me credit to on Reddit Coach Camp. This is the year the New York Knicks will win the NBA championship for the first time in 40 years.
Hold on, did you say or 40?
40.
Oh. Yeah, no. I'm just ending it right there.
I mean, is there a better chance than past few years?
No, the Knicks are going to be good this year. Like, the Knicks aren't entertaining watch this year. There's nothing wrong with the roster the Knicks have put together, but this is not the year.
Let's say this. A lot of people on the Warriors get injured, season ending, God forbid. Same thing happens to the Spurs, the Cavs, the Celtics, the Raptors.
The Hawks.
Yeah, Hawks are... Yeah, I'm going to knock the Hawks down here this year.
Are the Hawks worse? Are the Knicks better than the Hawks?
I'm gonna go with the Hawks, man. I gotta wait until I see it. I gotta see it on the court, and I've seen what the Hawks can do. And I do think Dwight Howard's going to be good for them this year.
No, I think he's good too. I just don't think he's Horford, and I also think losing Jeff Teague, you know, there's gonna be Dennis Schroeder. I think is ready to go, but I think there's gonna be a learning curve with that.
Well, coming up, we are going to highlight some of the best free agents left, and I wonder if the Hawks are gonna go into any of those guys.
Hot take number three.
So this is a bit of breaking news. We're going to talk about the more of the implications of the signing in just a few bit.
Gerald Green
is going to Boston. So the hot take from Reddit is, with Gerald Green and with Jaylen Brown, the Celtics second unit has maybe the greatest dunking potential of all time.
I mean, I want to see Jaylen Brown dunk on an actual NBA court.
Yeah.
That being said, Gerald Green is, oh my God.
Yeah, Gerald Green's amazing.
He does like off the backboard to himself dunks in game.
Gerald Green has been, I mean, he was in a dunk contest all the way back in like 07 or something. He's been that. Jaylen Brown actually tried to murder about three people, I think, during Summer League. I mean, he was going for these posterizations where I'm just like, whoa, like, I don't think it works from the free throw line, but you might want to tone it down a bit. But I mean, the dude brings the energy. We have said that about him a lot.
Credit to Bleacher Report. I was reading a thing on Gerald Green the other day, and they said Gerald Green is the 2012-2013 version of J.R. Smith, or the 2015-2016 doppelganger of Nick Young.
To an extent, I think that Gerald Green has a bit more J.R. Smith than Nick Young.
I mean, what he was 39% field goal, 9 points per game.
Gerald
about
Green's
30 years
fun.
Old.
He ended up signing that 1 year deal with Miami Heat for like the veterans minimum or something like that, and really kind of bet on himself. He had just come off a pretty successful season as a sixth man for the Suns, and he got taken out of the rotation a lot, like Amari Stoudemire did with the Heat, and now he's a free agent.
You're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzar. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA.
So we're gonna hit these a little bit quickly, going down the line here. We have Lance Stephenson, who had rumors with the Pacers until Larry Bird shut that down.
So with Lance Stephenson, I just wanted to bring up, right, to re-sign, and I understand he didn't re-sign with the Grizzlies because of Chandler Parsons' deal. They needed the money for that, but Lance Stephenson, was his deal, they turned down $9 million deal for Lance Stephenson with the cap going up. Did Lance Stephenson fall that far that he's not worth $9 million?
Yeah, no, I think he did fall that far. I mean, you got to look at what's happened since Indy with Lance Stephenson. He signed that big deal in Charlotte, didn't remotely pan out. I think he was the worst statistical three-point shooter in the league while he had that deal with Charlotte. He didn't work out in the Clippers, coming off as a bench piece. I thought he caught on a little better with Memphis towards the end.
Yeah, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 47% shooting with 26 games.
But we also have to look at the context there, and that Memphis was a graveyard of injuries.
Yeah.
Right, Memphis had, like, nobody.
It's just crazy to me. Like, this was the guy that was, like, the LeBron James pest. Like, he was going toe-to-toe with LeBron, and now he's not worth $9 million.
Here's a question. Who's had a bigger fall, Lance Stephenson or Roy Hibbert?
Lance Stephenson. Roy Hibbert's at least got a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Roy Hibbert, I think, was by every statistical measure, the worst center in the NBA last year.
Fine, but he still got a contract.
Yeah, he got the contract. That's all that matters at this point.
You know, he doesn't seem like he has terrible off-court issues where Lance Stephenson is, or I shouldn't say off-court, locker room. Lance Stephenson had locker room issues as well.
Yeah.
Moving on to...
I think someone will give him a contract, though, regardless. You don't think?
No, I think he gets signed. I absolutely
just with the potential that he had. Like, I still think he's going to get signed off that potential.
What did Larry Bird say? Larry Bird says if you're going to have Lance Stephenson on your team, that you have to have the right locker room pieces around him. And right. So any team that signs him has got to have that right, like, veteran.
Kind of like J.R. Smith-ish, because J.R. Smith kind of had his whole...
Right, you have to have the right pieces in the locker room. I think when the Cavs signed J.R. Smith, we actually talked about how, well, if one person can clean him up, it'll be LeBron.
Yeah, that's fair.
Moving on to Dion Waiters. The Thunder rescinded their qualifying offer on Dion Waiters. I guess it's all in an effort to renegotiate the deal with Russell Westbrook. Dion Waiters had a face-to-face conversation with the Nets, but left without signing. Mm-hmm. A lot of signs are pointing to Dion Waiters joining the starting lineup for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I've decided, this is going to be my thing, I've decided that if he does go to the Sixers, I'm totally going to flip my stance on him and try to argue with you guys why he's one of the best players.
Well, no. All right. So, look, if Dion Waiters, and I'll actually entertain this for a second, if Dion Waiters signs a one-year deal with the Sixers, I'm not really that upset about it. Or if he signs a two-year deal where the second is a player option or something like that, I mean, the Sixers have Jared Bayless, Sergio Rodriguez now. They got Ben Simmons, who's a guy who's going to need the ball in his hands a lot. They got TJ McConnell is still there. Basically, if you tell Dion Waiters you will not touch the ball other than when you're shooting three-pointers and you just don't put the ball in his hands, all right.
Waiters Island, baby.
Yeah, like literally an island saying, hey, run around the arc and catch and shoot. Now, granted, I don't think it's going to happen. It's not like Brian Colangelo said multiple times that he's not a fan. So, but Dion Waiters is still out there. I think anybody that needs 3-point shooter. I mean, the problem with Waiters is Waiters rep is just garbage at this point. I mean,
he was better for OKC, especially in the playoffs. I think if you're looking for a ball dominant six man,
he'd be a good fit.
He's a viable option for teams. Moving on, David Lee. And David Lee's kind of interesting, too, because David Lee says he's working on a return to Golden State right now, kind of working out the financials on that. We'll see if it happens.
I mean, Golden State needs big men. It makes sense. David Lee, despite kind of falling out of favor there, we know Draymond Green took his spot. David Lee has had nothing but good things to say about the Bay that year in 2015. It's a lot of people forget that he played a lot of good minutes for them. And David Lee doesn't give you much at this point. I think he's back up big. I think we talked about the Warriors. That's the one thing they don't have is big men.
Well, he was really good for the Mavericks last year in the stretches that he was playing for him. Like, he was really good.
Shot, where is it? 40, a little bit more than 47% in post-ups and better than 63% as a pick-and-roll finisher for about 25 games for the Mavs.
Yeah, no, he was really solid. Also, David Lee, after he found out that he was being traded to the Celtics, is that where he went? I don't remember off the top of my head. Anyway,
to the Celtics. Mm-hmm.
He ended up taking the entire Golden State Warriors team out after the championship and flew them all to Vegas, and this was after he found out he was getting traded. So
a very team-friendly guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dion Waiters also played really good defense against Golden State Warriors. That kind of got slept on if you get him motivated. We kind of moved off that a bit, but that was sticking in my head. And it's like, if you can get Dion Waiters motivated, he's a better defender than people give him credit for.
Yeah, he was good. Moving on to Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson said that he is, in his words, someone asked him, do you feel like you're a sleeper free agent? And Ty Lawson said, I think so. At this point, I'm not going to say they're going to get me for the cheap, but they're going to get me for cheaper than I feel like I'm worth, and I'm being overlooked in free agency. He's made some comments that he wouldn't mind going to the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, his assist rate went up when he went to the Pacers. Like,
he was still bad for the Pacers.
Yeah, I know. So. But he's still only, what, like a year and a half removed from...
Yeah, he was a borderline all-star a couple of seasons ago. He was good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he'll just definitely get it off potential. Happened? And, life comes at you hard.
Right? Alcohol.
Like, yeah, life hit him real hard in the face. And I hope that he can bounce back from it. Because I really liked Ty Lawson when he was on the Nuggets. Like, it was fun to watch him play.
Yeah, it's just, I don't really know. Ty Lawson, to me, is one of those guys who probably needs to go overseas and repair his image a bit, Michael Beasley style, or some of these other guys. I mean, I just think Ty Lawson has damaged products at this point. You know, we left Denver. There's the multiple DUIs off the court. We went to Houston. I thought that was his real chance to get back in. Because Ty Lawson's been a really good player.
We were so excited for the Houston Ty Lawson.
Yeah, I thought
thing.
That was going to be a chance to rebirth his career a little bit. I thought it was the perfect place for him to fit in. And he just flopped flat on his face. And then he went to Indy, and it was much of the same. And when he went to Indy, there were no expectations. And for you to fail when there's no expectations, that's a pretty damning indictment of where your NBA career is right now. I think he's one of these guys, so I'd like to see him go overseas for a bit. I don't necessarily think he'll get signed this year.
Ty Lawson to the Sixers.
I mean, it's not
this a thing.
Dude, it's not a thing.
It
the Sixers
be.
Have 20 people on the roster. We can't sign anymore.
But they don't have Ty Lawson.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't mind Ty Lawson.
Mario Chalmers, he's coming off that torn Achilles. The Heat did bypass a potential reunion with him.
I'm just saying, he was playing really good ball for the Grizzlies before he went down. I remember we were all like, whoa, like, where did this come from?
He's exactly what the Grizzlies needed at that moment in time.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure he'll get signed off that. He's a good backup point guard.
It's
like,
just the injury, man.
Yeah.
It's just coming back off the injury.
People don't come back well from that.
Well, Chalmers is old, too. Tim told me this earlier, and I guess I just didn't realize that Mario Chalmers is like 30 years old.
Is he really?
Yeah. It did really sink in for me that, wow, Mario Chalmers has been in the league for about 8 or 9 years now.
He's an older player for sure.
Wow.
I think a lot of people just forget.
I thought he was like a rookie when LeBron James started going there.
I think he played 4 years in college, if I remember correctly. So I think that's why he came into the league at 22, because it was 08 when he hit the shot against Calipari and Derrick Rose's Memphis team.
Yeah.
Sticking on players that used to play for the Heat, Amari Stoudemire, he wasn't happy with the lack of minutes that he was getting with the Heat last season. It doesn't look like there's going to be a return there.
Mario Chalmers played 3 years in college, by the way. I had to look that up. Those bother me. Amari Stoudemire, I mean, again, Amari Stoudemire is a bench piece at this point. I think you know what he gives you and what he doesn't. I think the reassuring thing is, if you're going to sign Amari Stoudemire, is that the injuries that kind of plagued him towards the end of New York and kind of really throughout his career weren't as present last year in Miami. I think he's proven at this point that if you can use him in certain situations when you need, you know, you need guys that can just get you buckets down low, coming off the bench, I think somebody takes a flyer on him.
I was surprised that he didn't get more run in the playoffs. I thought that the Heat were going to be kind of saving him for the playoffs and keeping him fresh for that, and I was a bit surprised. Honestly, I wouldn't mind a Amari Stoudemire return to the Suns. You know, the Suns having signed Dudley and Barbosa, you might as well bring Amari Stoudemire
back
as well. Moving on to Josh Smith. Josh Smith is a free agent right now. I wouldn't be a surprise to see a return to the Rockets. Daryl Morey actually offered Josh Smith more than the Clippers.
I was gonna
back
say,
when we went to the Clips.
I was going to say it was another guy that just kind of fell from, you know, our all-star. I remember we were talking
Josh
about this
Smith,
guy being
no,
a beast.
No, Josh Smith went to Detroit, and they tried to jam this lineup of him and Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond that everybody knew wasn't going to work. And Josh Smith just, unfortunately, early on in his career, the problem was he had no clue what a bad shot was. And so he'd go beyond the three-point line, and he was just bombing away. And he was just shooting, I think it was like 25% at one point from behind the arc. Like, they just need to get... I mean, we remember that season with the Pistons. They traded Josh Smith and instantly got, like, light years better.
You know what team has the largest amount of dead payroll? The Pistons have $31 million in dead payroll between Josh Smith, Danny Granger, and there's another player, too. But
jeez,
a ton of money to just have in dead money.
Just chilling with it.
Right. Chase Budinger. Celtics were looking for some shooting, and I heard that the Celtics reached out to Chase Budinger, you know, seven-year pro. It kind of fell off a bit last year. But, you know, pretty solid second, third, small forward off the bench.
Yeah, wonder what the Celtics... I mean, the problem with the Celtics is they're going to run out of roster spots. So you wonder where they're going to make the fit.
Moving on to the next free agent, Kevin Martin. Team looking for some shooting. I think last year when he did play, he shot around 40% from three. Obviously not much of a defender, but I think the team's looking for shooting.
I could see... I mean, not to bring it back to my team, but if the Sixers cut Stauskas, I could see them going after a guy like Kevin Martin, because obviously you want shooting out of the two positions. Kevin Martin's a veteran guy, and I think it's clear that Colangelo's tried to get a few of these veteran guys in here. And, you know, because I think the Sixers are extremely low on Stauskas, to say the least. I mean, he was playing with us for Summer League this year, and even in Summer League, he just kind of looked like a guy. He didn't really show too much last year. I think he's on his last legs. And if a guy like him goes, and I think they don't have another prospect, I can see the Sixers going out making a play to Kevin Martin.
I was so excited for Stauskas. Me too.
When Stauskas got drafted, I was really excited for him. And I liked it. I mean, when the Sixers made that trade with the Kings, it's still a fleecing, but mostly because of the pick swap than anything else. But yeah. I was really excited for Stauskas. I thought Stauskas just wasn't being used well. And, well, he was given all the opportunities to be used well last year. And it just wasn't there. He just was missing. And he was getting the looks. He just wasn't hitting the shots.
So we have Carlos Boozer. Apparently, he is working out Miami right now, and he said that he is hopeful for a mentor bench role for the Heat.
That would be kind of cool. I could see that. I mean, why not? In the who do they have running out as their big men right now? They got potentially Bosch. We don't
Josh McRoberts.
Josh McRoberts. It'd be cool to add him to the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is a deep roster guy at this point, so. It's fair. Miami's got the money. They replace Amari Stoudemire. He can kind of play that role.
Mm-hmm. Next up and lastly but not least, we have Norris Cole, who New Orleans had a looming 2-year deal agreement with Tim Frazier, and they ended up signing that. So, you know, it pretty much means that the Pelicans will not be bringing back Norris
Cole. That's really funny because you look at where these two guys are at. Norris Cole was the backup point guard and got serious minutes on those Heat teams that won a championship. Tim Frazier was a guy that the Sixers signed out of the D League to 2 10-day contracts, and now Tim Frazier has more value than Norris Cole does, which is kind of just like, it's just another example of life comes at you fast in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Norris Cole can get signed somewhere. I'm not a huge fan of Norris Cole's game at this point, honestly. I don't think he's a great shooter. I think he turns the ball over a fair amount. But I could see somebody that, you know, you just need that point guard depth. Norris Cole.
Well, he's a really solid defender, too.
Yeah, Norris Cole could be like a third guard off the bench type deal for me. I could see him fitting in somewhere.
I'm also, he would have been a good fit for the Pistons.
Mo Harkless, too. We didn't talk about Mo Harkless. He's still out there. I don't think Portland's going to necessarily match. And, you know, he's not a great shooter, but I think that somebody could maybe buy low on his potential still. You know,
well, here's
a young guy,
actually
drafted in 2012.
Actually, I wanted to talk about him for a second because they gave Alan Crabb the money, right?
Right.
And they were saying that I was reading a lot of people saying that they shouldn't have done that, and they should have given Harkless the money because they both have similar game, but Harkless has more upside, is what they were saying at this point.
They paid a lot of money for Alan Crabb.
I was a bit surprised then, because they did pay a lot of money for Alan Crabb, and, you know, shout out to my guy Bill Hagan, who's been talking about this with me. He is convinced that that's going to bite the Blazers down the line, and that when the time comes to re-sign C.J. McCollum, they're not going to have the assets to
do so. Did you see that picture that's been circulating of C.J. McCollum in high school?
Oh, my gosh.
He's 5'9". Yeah, it's crazy.
Tiny dude.
He looks like an 8-year-old among boys. Right. And mind you, he's playing with 18-year-olds at the time. So it's not even like all these guys look like grown NBA prospects.
They just look way bigger.
They're high schoolers.
They just look way bigger.
Dude, he looked like a 12-year-old out there. It's just crazy.
Dude, shout out to C.J. McCollum, man. Straight out of Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. Look at him now.
Yeah, he was MIP.
Although you didn't want him to be.
Yeah, so you agree with that, but that's fine. I think you might have been the only person who was on that wagon last year.
I just felt like it was decided too early, and that it was just all but said and done.
Just
and
like, were, yeah.
And the argument, too,
we were saying that he was going to be before the season even started.
Right. The argument was that McCollum was always that good. He just didn't get minutes. And then we're like, oh, look, he's actually going to get minutes now. I bet you it translates.
Well, because the playoffs, we got so excited for him in the playoffs.
We're talking about playoffs. Like,
I just thought Gary Harris was better.
I know you did, but he wasn't on the winning team, like a winning.
Yeah, and I get that.
Yeah,
but I just thought that Gary Harris actually improved more as a player than C.J. McCollum did.
I'm making a point this year to watch more Denver because I think I've watched like 4 or 5 Denver games in the past 2 years.
Somebody asked on Twitter, or maybe it was on Facebook, I can't remember, but they said, "Are the Denver Nuggets the most relevant franchise in the NBA?"
I think so.
I mean,
no knock to Nuggets fans. Like, I'm not.
But they've got
a lot of
like really good pieces right now. They're actually in a really good place.
No, they are.
Franchise.
No, the Nuggets are going to be good. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to knock them. It's just the Nuggets. Like, I look back at the last 5 years of the Nuggets. Other than that 1 year, the 1 year with George Karl when they had Iggy and they had Danilo Gallinari was healthy and they were the 3 seed and they were really, really good. And the Warriors upset them in the first round, and then Iggy bounced the next year to go to Golden State. Like, he pulled a Durant, which apparently all the free agents in Golden State pull early on, because Iggy did this 4 years ago. But Yeah, no, the Nuggets are in a really, really good position. And the Nuggets were good. And when the Nuggets had Melo, like, they were in the mix. They made a Western Conference Finals.
Well, just about being irrelevant, though. I think it's kind of, I thought it was kind of
no one really talks about them that much.
Well,
no.
And they just don't have that. Like, I look at, like, a squad like New Orleans, I think, would probably be irrelevant if it wasn't for Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't they don't have that guy though is what I'm saying. Like Denver just doesn't, like, who's the one guy if you're a casual NBA fan that you go, man, I can't wait to watch them play tonight?
Gallinari.
Will Barton.
Right, but that's what we're reaching for. Gallinari, Will Barton, Emmanuel Mudiay, like that's your
Kenneth
number one
Fareed?
Draw.
But they, well, who was it? Who was it? Their coach. Their coach said they could build off of their. I guess is it their starting center now or their backup center? He came over.
Yeah, Jokic. No, Jokic is good. Like the Denver,
I get it, but
really
it's like
good.
If you're like, you know, the guys who are making huge strides for the Nuggets, they draft this guy or they bring over this guy, and they're like, yeah, we can build around him. I'd be like, oh, great, thanks.
Denver also has Jakar Sampson, which makes my heart really happy.
Yeah.
Because Jakar Sampson is the ultimate embodiment of the process. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Make sure you check out our website, driveanddishpodcast.com. You can see all our sponsors there, as well as catch up on all of our episodes, both this week and in the past. If you're an Apple user, you can also check all of our episodes out on iTunes. If you're an Android user, make sure you check us out. We're now on the Google Play Store. You also can check us out on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Player FM.
And don't forget to check out the Bright Side of the Sun podcast. They are on iTunes. They are on Stitcher at brightsideofthesun.com. And if you're into the social stuff, don't forget that we are giving away a free month of Fan Essentials. Just head on over to the Drive and Dish podcast Facebook account, and you can get signed up for that. Drive and Dish podcast under Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
Be a star side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.